And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word of truth, given by the infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and by thy singular care and providence kept pure in all ages. We pray now that the same Holy Spirit who gave it will apply it to our hearts to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, comfort and strength to each of us. For his sake, amen. I'm sure some of you were expecting me to resume my series in Romans today. And Lord willing, I will do that next Sabbath. But that portion of Romans chapter 14 is, for one thing, too long for a communion sermon. And the text I've selected is more appropriate for a communion sermon. Prophecy of Zechariah of our Lord's Passion. I find this prophecy fascinating for two reasons. First, because it's such a clear prophecy of New Testament events. St. Augustine said, the Old Testament is in the New revealed, the New Testament is the Old concealed. Some things in the Old Testament, like the sacrificial lamb, clearly stand for Jesus Christ, but it takes really the New Testament to understand that. But other parts, like Isaiah 53, that so clearly describes why Jesus was crucified, or Psalm 22, which we just read, which describes the details of that crucifixion, there is an actual clear revelation, like what we have today, a revelation of the passion of our Savior. Especially important to remember when we have Holy Communion. We show forth his death until he come. Now we'll begin at verse 10. This is the only verse I'm going to preach on this morning, although I'll refer to verse 1. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. This is a prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. When Christ ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. He sent the Spirit in power. The kingdom of God came with power upon the church on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, remember the Holy Spirit fell upon the 70 in the upper room and they began to speak in languages they didn't understand. And the people of Jerusalem thought they were drunk, but St. Peter explained the phenomenon. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. That's the last days of national Israel. This is the last generation, 40 years, AD 30 to AD 70. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That means Gentiles too. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit. Now the people who were believers in the Old Testament time had the Holy Spirit, or they couldn't have been believers. Faith is a gift of God's Spirit. The natural man doesn't have it. They were born again, or they couldn't have had saving faith. You know, when Jesus told Nicodemus that somebody has to be born again to see the kingdom of God, He was shocked that Nicodemus didn't know that. How can you be a teacher in Israel and you don't know that? Where have you been? Said it in Ezekiel clearly enough. So they were born again and they had the Holy Spirit, but except for the prophets, ordinary believers did not have the abundance of the Holy Spirit that every Christian now enjoys. The Holy Spirit was literally poured upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as it says in this text, on the day of Pentecost. But the Bible says that we're inhabitants of the Jerusalem that's above, the mother of us all. And so spiritually, that's us. We're the inhabitants of Jerusalem upon which the Spirit was poured. And it says, upon the house of David. That's us too. David is typical of Christ. In Ezekiel 37, we read this, and keep in mind that David has been dead for centuries. I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes to do them. A typical Old Testament prophecy of the time of Christ, using Old Testament symbolism to represent New Testament truths. David, my king, is of course David's royal son. His household are we. And what is the Spirit that's been poured on us? It's a spirit of grace and supplication. The grace to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's a gift. The grace of sanctification by which the Spirit gives us power over sin. And the grace of supplication. The grace of prayer. There's no such thing as a true Christian who isn't a person of prayer. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the spirit of supplication. It's always useful to ask yourself, what's my prayer life like? You have the spirit of supplication? Are you a prayer warrior? Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. And so the first benefit of Christ's death, resurrection, ascension is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of David. Next it says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. All who have received this spirit of grace will look upon Jesus as one whom we have crucified. We look upon him with the eye of faith. The book of Hebrews says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now by God's providence, Christ was pierced by a Roman soldier. I'll read this in St. John 19. Then come the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith is true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken, Psalm 34. And again another scripture saith, They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12:10. So lest there be any doubt that our text today is speaking about Christ, Scripture interpreting Scripture says that Zechariah was indeed prophesying our Lord's being pierced. And although a Roman soldier pierced Christ, it says, we pierced him. How did we pierce him? With our sins. Isaiah says he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised. Why? Because of our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. Or as Isaac Watts said, was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. He was wounded for your transgressions, and by that your soul is healed, because your penalty has been paid in full. God will not punish the same sin twice. If you commit a crime and if you pay the full fine, whatever it is, the state can't come back and ask for the fine again. It's been paid. The payment for your sins has been satisfied in full. That's what we call the finished work of Christ. You don't need to add anything to it. And if you try to add anything to it, you don't have it. Now I come to what, to me, is the most amazing part of this ancient prophecy. Christ, who was pierced by our sins, is in this text called Jehovah. You may have wondered why I call this sermon Jehovah Crucified for Us. That's because that's what this text says. Verse 1 is the introduction of this chapter, and I'll read it again. And you know when Lord is in all capital letters in the King James Version. The underlying word is Jehovah, Yahweh. The burden of the word of Jehovah for Israel, says Jehovah, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. This entire chapter, the only speaker is Jehovah. And so when he says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, it's Jehovah speaking. It's the man, Christ Jesus, who is also eternal Jehovah. The one on the cross is the one who made heaven and earth and places the spirit of man in him. Now, this was always confusing to the Jews. It still is. How can the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God be pierced? By being incarnate? By taking to himself a true body and reasonable soul? By taking to himself a true human nature, he could be pierced like any other man. So if you have the spirit of grace and supplication, you look to Jesus by faith and see that he is Jehovah God and he was pierced for your sins. And finally, what's the result of looking to Jesus as Jehovah who was pierced by your sins? They shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Godly sorrow for sin. You can't see Christ crucified for you, and not have the deepest bitterness and shame for the sins you've committed that pierced him. Godly sorrow that leads to repentance, as St. Paul says, not to be repented of. And so as we come today to the Lord's Supper, let's remember these three lessons of this prophecy. The Spirit of grace and prayer has been poured upon you in great abundance. And by this Spirit, you in faith look to Jesus as Jehovah God, who is pierced for your sins. And the result is you are truly sorry, penitent, and desire to live a holy life for his glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, grant that we may never tire of looking to thee, the author and finisher of our faith and of our salvation, and that we shall never forget that it was our sins that pierced thee. Amen.